Praise the Lord, message number 89, the title of the message, The Second Coming of Christ, Part 5, the Book of Revelation. In this message and in the coming messages, we will read mainly from the Book of Revelation. The Book of Revelation is 22 chapters. We will divide it in a simple way. The first three chapters, chapter 1 to 23 of the Book of Revelation, it speaks about the period that precedes the coming of Christ. It contains messages to the churches as a warning messages to them, to prepare them, to prepare us for His second coming. Chapter 4 and 5 speak more or less about the rapture, the event of the rapture. We can say that chapter 4 and 5 goes along the scene that is in heaven, where Christ will come. And he will he will be with his people, the Old Testament saint, and those, and we who are ready, and we will be with them to meet the Lord in the cloud. After chapter 5, Book of Revelation, after the rapture, there will be the period of tribulation on earth. And Book of Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 19, there are many events, but all these events we can put them together as a period of tribulation, where God will pour out His wrath on the earth, and those who left behind, and those who are wicked, and also non-believers. And during the period of tribulation, the satanic activities will be also increasingly manifested, trying to oppose God's wrath. At the end of chapter 19, we'll find that the Lord going down, and we are what we call it the Battle of Armageddon, and we will be with Him. And in Book of Revelation chapter 20, where Satan will be caught and will be thrown into the fiery lake of fire, and that is this where Satan will be caught, and he will be in a prison in the abyss, in the bottomless pit. And from there the millennium reign of Christ will start. For 1,000 years we will be with the Lord. He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on the earth, and we are with Him. He will rule the nation from Jerusalem. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be allowed to be released from the abyss for a short time, but finally he will be caught by the angel after he gathered the people, to gather the nation and the wicked to fight against the city of God. But he will be caught by the angel in the Book of Revelation chapter 20, and he will be thrown into the fiery lake of fire, and that is the second death, where the false prophet and the beast had been thrown before him. Just after that event, the resurrection of the wicked, they will be resurrected from death. They'll be taken out from hell, that's in the bottom of the earth, and every one of them will stand in front of the Creator, and God's judgment will be pronounced to each and everyone according to what he had done. And each one whose name is not written in the Book of Life will be thrown into the fiery lake of fire. That is the second death. In Book of Revelation 21, then the old heaven and the old earth will disappear, and then the new heaven and new earth, and from the new heaven, the new city Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, will descend down, and there in this city we will live with the Lord forever. Book of Revelation 21 and 22 speak details about that city. So in this message today, we will tackle now the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, where the Lord sent messages through Apostle John, his servant, to warn the churches. Before we go forward, let us bow down our head and pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you that you give us your word in the Bible so that we can read and we can be blessed and apply. I pray, Lord, that the message will be clear and the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished in the life of your people. Anoint my lips and anoint the words I'm going to speak. Let it be a fruitful message and the purpose of sending it shall be accomplished. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. I will read verse by verse, and when we need explanation, I will explain. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So as we read this book, this word of God, we will be blessed. And as we hear the word of God, this warning message, we will be also blessed, because faith come by hearing, and as we hear, our faith increase, and we manifest our faith by action as we obey the command of God, away from sin and living what is required of us to do. Verse 4, John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Now John, as he received the revelation, he is writing the letter to the seven churches. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and a priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and everyone will see him, even those who pierce him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patience, endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. John the Apostle was in exile in the island of Patmos because of the word of God, because he was persecuted. They put him in exile, but while he was an old man, around 90 and more in age, the Lord revealed to him this revelation and he asked him to write it down. In verse 10, on the Lord's day, I was in the spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which say, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. In the day of the Lord, he heard a voice, he was in the spirit. The voice told him, write on a scroll the message to these seven churches, the warning message. I turned around in verse 12, he turned to see what is the origin of the voice. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. That is the word of God. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, so he's the Lord. When John turned, he saw the Lord, and that's his description. The Lord placed his right hand on John and he said to him, do not be afraid. He's encouraging him. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Verse 19, what he told them more, write. So here the command of the Lord for John to write was where the Lord was putting his right hand on John and declaring to him who is he, to encourage him. Then the command say to him, write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and of the seven golden lampstands, is this: the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So what we understand here, that the seven lampstands, they were in the hand of the Lord, these are the seven churches, and the seven stars are the seven angels of these churches. So the Lord is in the middle of his church, in the Holy Spirit. And now he's sending messages through the Apostle John to these churches and to us today, to understand that we need to be ready. We are just waiting for the Lord to come. And here we find a message. The Lord sent seven messages to each and every church. In every message there is a good strength point for the church, their obedience, and also he showed their sin and disobedience. So as we start now chapter 2, and we start to the church in Ephesus, let us take heed of the message of each and every church. Yes, as you hear the message, they are a strong point, you are obeying in certain area, but you are also disobeying the Lord in certain area. You need to repent, so that when he will come, you will find worthy. The Lord is coming soon. As we read, as we meditate, as we obey and apply, as we show our faith by obeying the word, then when he is coming, we are ready. Chapter 2, verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. These are the words of Him who holds the seven stars in His right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. As you say here, the Lord is happy with this church. They have done good work. They stood firm. They are persevering. They expose false teaching. Those who claim to be apostles but they are not. And they suffer for their stand. That is the good things. In verse 4, the Lord says, yet I hold this against you. There is something wrong in the church at Ephesus. What is this thing that's wrong? You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What is the thing that is God holding against them? They have forsaken their first love. They were at the beginning, they are serving the Lord, they are loving God more. But now their love become a little bit cold. Less prayer, less reading the Bible, less serving the Lord, less evangelism. Their compassion to the lost becoming cold and cold. And the Lord saying, you have forsaken your first love, as if a couple who is married and the husband is saying to the wife, you are not loving me as you were loving me before. Or the wife telling to the husband, you are not caring for me that you had cared for me before. You had forsaken your first love. The Lord also the same. He is telling to some of us, you have forsaken your first love. Maybe you are praying less, you are reading the Bible less, you are reaching the lost less, you are spending less time for evangelism, less time to serve the Lord, you are starting to love yourself now. God say, repent. Remember the way. Remember the thing that you have done in the past. You are not doing like that now. God is reminding you to repent. There's a warning that if you not repent, then the Lord will come and you remove your lampstand from his place. Judgment is coming. Verse 6, but you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The Nicolaitans, they are false teachers. The Ephesians, they hate the false teachers' teaching. And that is a good point. But the other point, they need to correct it. They need to show their love to the Lord as they were showing their love to Him before. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now hear the message not only to the church at Ephesus, but to us also, to you also. Area need to be perfected, you have to work hard in it. Now we'll move to the church in Smyrna, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, right? That is in verse 8. These are the words of Him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in a prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. The Lord is happy with the church at Smyrna. They were poor, they were persecuted, but the Lord told them, you are rich, because people slander them, attack them, accuse them, try to harm them, but they stood firm. He told them that you will pass through persecution, and he encouraged them to continue to be faithful to the point of death, so that they will receive the crown of life from the Lord. So here the Lord is encouraging you. If you are faithful in suffering and in affliction and standing firm, even the people attack you, and you continue to do all what is required from you by the Lord, then the Lord is promising us the crown of life. Verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Now here, the Lord is happy with the church at Smyrna. There is only a strong point. They are strength. They have no negative points. So they need to keep the same. The same for you. If you have the message and you are doing correctly, you continue to do the same. Now we'll move to the church in Pergamum. Verse 12. To the angel of the church in Pergamum. Right? These are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. The double-edged sword, the sharp double-edged sword is the word of God. Verse 13, I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me. Even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. So here the church was just beside and something very satanic, who had persecuted the Lord's faithful servant. He called him Antipas. The church have done well. They did not renounce their faith in the Lord. Still, they are Christian. They call themselves Christian, and they are called Christian. But there is something, or there are a few things the Lord is not happy with. What are these things? Verse 14, nevertheless, I have few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immoralities. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. What is the problem of this church? There is a false teaching. There are people who promote the same teaching of Balaam. Balaam taught Balak, who invited him to curse the Israelites, because the Israelites, when they enter and reach the promised land, Balak was afraid that his land will be taken. So he sent for Balaam to curse the Israelites. We know from the book of Numbers that Balaam was not able to curse the Israelites. The Holy Spirit was on him, and he would not utter things against God. But he taught Balak how to entice the Israelites. By what? By sexual immoralities. How he do it? By eating food sacrifice to idols. He told him the weakness of the Israelites is when we send the women. How the women will enter the Israelites? They will enter with food. So here, the church that is not aware about sexual immoralities, sex and relationship, and relationship between men and women outside the marital life is sexual immoralities. Boyfriend and girlfriends is sexual immorality. Sex before marriage, affair with people who are married and have affair with men, have affair with women, is sexual immoralities. Now here, how these sexual immoralities had entered the Israelite. The woman entice the men and have relationship with them, but they start the things using food. And here, the point here, when food is there, then we must know that there is also idol worship and also there is sexual immoralities. Now the church nowadays, the churches are holding many feasts in the name of Christ. Birthday parties, wedding anniversaries, and a lot of activities, and with these activities, food, Bible studies with foods, every worship and after worship there is food. Now the thing here, when we promote food, with the food coming the sexual immoralities, whether you like it or no, once there is food, immoralities also will prevail in the life of the people. That is the method. The food affects the stomach, and that's where the emotional aspect, and also with the food and the stomach and the emotional aspect, the sexual organ also will be aroused and get involved in our worship. And we are sin now, there, and people fall into sin. That is not only the problem of this church, other churches, and we will read more about it. So here, the sin of the church in Pergamum is teaching of Balaam. Balaam is a false teacher. He go and preach. He was enticed to preach because Balak was sending him a very good gift. He promised him to give him a very good gift. And here where the love of money, and many who teach and preach because they want to collect money, that is where Balaam teaching. That's where also harm will enter the church. We need to be careful. Careful that ministry should not be used as a base of collecting money or making money or a way for earn living. No, that is not the way. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcome, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receive it. So here the Lord is asking us to cleanse our churches from these practices, from food, parties, stop mixing boys and girls together. Some churches, they say, and they approve that the girls will invite the boys, because the boys, when they are invited by the girls, they are happy to go to the church. And the girls, when they are invited by the boys, are happy to go to the church, because the focus is not on God. The focus is on earthly things, sexual things. And as Paul say, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame, and their end is destruction. We need to be careful. The church of God should not be used for such things. Now we will move to the third church, the church in Thyatira. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. So he's happy with the church till now. They are doing very good work, faith and deed and love and perseverance. Nevertheless, verse 20, I have this against you. What is wrong here? You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. What is here? There is a woman, her name Jezebel. She called herself prophetess, and this is here the false teachers. What is her false teaching? And she misled many servants of the Lord to do sexual immorality. How? As we discussed, when they approve courting and dating as a way for marriage, that's sexual immorality already. And when they approve separation and divorce and annulment, and then they approve second wedding and second marriage or remarriage, then the church will become a place where Satan promote immoralities, but in a legal way. The church approve it. The church approve divorce. The church that approve divorce and approve remarriage is the church that promote sexual immoralities. Husband and wife, legal on paper, but in front of God, they are adulterers. Two things, sexual immoralities and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. Food that is offered to idols, food of Diwali for the Hindu, food that sacrifice and offer for the Buddhist festivals, or food sacrifice for idols, Ramadan food that is sacrifice for Muslim religious feast time is food sacrifice for idols. In addition to this type of food, the food of birthday parties and whatever parties that glorified ourselves, not Christ, is food sacrificed for idol, and we need to avoid this food. There's only two times in the Bible spoke about birthday. The first occasion is in the book of Genesis, chapter 41, speak about the birthday of Pharaoh. And the second occasion is in the New Testament, speak about the birthday of King Herod. And that is in the book of Matthew, chapter 14. The Bible does not speak about birthday celebration or the church involved in the birthday celebration for believers. Food that came also from boyfriend is a food sacrifice for idols, and we should not eat such kind of food. Verse 21, I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. The Lord was giving time to that church to repent, but they are unwilling. They are unwilling to stop immoralities in the form of boyfriend, girlfriend, in the form of divorce and separation and second marriage. They were not willing to stop this food celebration and parties. They were not willing to repent by disciplining their members to wear decently, because not wearing a decent cloth will promote also immoralities. So what do I say? So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now here, what do I say to those churches and to those who hear the message and they are not willing to repent of eating food sacrifice for idols and from immoralities? That God's curse will come. There will be sickness. They will be cast into the bed of sickness. And even will strike the children. Curse on your children. Curse on the disciples. And everyone. And all the churches will know that God is judging his people. So here the message to the church in Thyatira is a warning message. Again, the Lord is speaking clearly the way of sin we need to give up. Christ loves sinners, but he hates sin. You cannot be called a Christian and you continue to live in sin. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, verse 24. To you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets. This is the deep secrets of Satan. Divorce and remarriage, courting and dating, birthday parties, all done in the name of Christ. Before the party they will pray, before the food they will pray. But the focus is not Christ, it's a pride and stomach and sexual organ and emotion. Nothing about Christ. But Christ is the mask for all these activities. But there are some people, they don't adhere to that teaching, they don't hold this teaching, they don't learn or approve Satan's so-called secret. I will not impose any other burden on you. That is the promise of God. We who stand firm and don't approve that, God will not impose on us any other burden. Verse 25, only hold on to what you have until I come. We need to stand firm. Even people may love on us. How we will not do these things? Everyone is doing it. Parties and celebrations and eating in the restaurant and spending too much money on these things and putting ourselves in debt. We don't do these things. This is against Christ, against the Word of God, against the stewardship that the Bible teaches us. Jesus does not want us to behave in this wild way. What the picture that we give to the world about Christianity? If the Christian do that, then what the non-believer would do? Verses 26 and 27 and 28. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Hallelujah. He will rule them with an iron scepter. We will rule with the Lord in the millennium reign. If we will behave today, he will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. So there is to every church, those who will listen and obey and correct themselves, there's a blessing, there's reward. In the future, we will receive it from the Lord as we persevere today. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now we will go to the next church, the fifth church, to the church in Sardis, Revelation chapter 3. And verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. They are alive physically, but spiritually they are dead. Verse 2. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember therefore what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. What is the problem of the church? The problem of the church, physically they are alive, but spiritually they are dead. And there are areas both about to dead, because if they will continue the same style, nothing will left for them. He said, wake up, sleeping. They think that they are awake, but they are sleeping. Wake up. He said, I found your deed is not complete. They start to do something, they are elated to do something, but then in the mid of the way, they stop. They don't continue. Later on, they want to start something else, then they will leave it in the middle or the beginning. They will not complete it. That is not the way that the Lord wants us to be. When he gave the parable in the book of Luke chapter 14, he said, if anyone wants to build a tower, he should first sit down and estimate the cost and see how much he have, and if he can finish it. Because if he started, if he will not finish, the people will laugh at him. It's a bad testimony. The Christian in Sardis, their deeds were not complete. The same, you who are not diligent in your work and service unto God. You start to do something good, but then you stop it, you leave it, incomplete, of no use. You start again, you leave it. You need to correct yourself. He say, remember what you have received and heard. If the Lord say, I have given you this and this and this and this, and you have heard these messages, you had been educated, you had been informed, you had been taught, you had been trained, what you have done with all these things. He say, obey it and repent. What you receive, put into action. Use for God's service. Verse 4, yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. Some people, they are not like that in Sardis. Only few people. The rest are, their deed is not complete. Verse 5. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. So God is challenging them to overcome this bad attitude and bad character, not completing the work. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angel. So here the warning, if you will not continue to complete the work of God, your name will be blotted out. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now we'll move to the sixth church, to the church in Philadelphia, to the angel of the church. in Philadelphia, right? These are the words of Him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David. What He opens, no one can shut, and what He shut, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Here, the church is standing firm. There's a persecution, there's opposition from people from the synagogue of Satan. They claim themselves Jews, they claim themselves Christian, but they are not the people of God. They are followers of Satan, according to them, they are doing. And they are opposing the believers and the members of the church in Philadelphia in their walk. He told them, don't be afraid. I had opened a door before you, no one can shut. And those who are opposing, they will come and acknowledge that I have loved you. Why? Because he acknowledged the church and he was happy with them because they have kept the command to endure patiently and they have kept their faith. The Lord promised that He will keep them from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world. When the Lord will come, we'll be with Him. Then the tribulation will start on earth. Those who are not standing firm, and those who are not doing well during persecution, some people will fall away. They will start to compromise, to escape, but they will be fallen to the period of tribulation. They will be left behind. What I say, if I am not persecuted, if all the people love me, it means I am compromising. Some people should hate me because I follow God. The one who hates me is Satan, and he will use people to oppose me and to cause me problem. But I claim the promise of the Lord. The Lord had placed before me an open door that no one can shut. And those who attack me, they will surrender to me according to His promise. In Isaiah chapter 54, those who attack you, they will surrender to you. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. That is in Isaiah 41, the promises of the Lord with us. In verse 11, in verse 12, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcome, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. The new Jerusalem which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. So here there is also promise of God to those who obey and stand firm. As we stand firm in opposition and persecution, not to quit, not to escape, standing firm, not to compromise, then there's a reward for us. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now to the seventh church, to the church in Laodicea, verse 14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, These are the words of the Amin, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. What is the problem here? The people here, they think they are good, they are okay, they are right. They think that they are doing well. But they are neither cold nor hot. They are lukewarm. They are not doing exactly what the Lord wants, and they are not in that level. They are not doing well. But the problem, they are not aware that they are not doing well. You say, I am rich. You say, we are okay. We are Christian. We are follower. We are disciple. We have place in heaven. But they are not aware that they are wretched, pitiful, poor, and blind, and naked. They cannot see that they are away from the Lord by their disobedience. And what the Lord say here? He says in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. Gold refined in fire. It means that they have gold, but not a genuine gold. It's mixed with other metals. Make it of no value. Some people, they are rich. They are rich in their job, they are rich in their salary, they are rich in their position and prestige, they are rich in their relationship, and they know a good number of people. They are rich in their influences, but they are poor in regard to God. He said, come buy from me pure gold. The Lord say, if you think that you are okay because you have good job or good car or good friends, this is of no value when I will come. Many believers, they are so worldly. They think that when they can buy expensive things and they can enjoy material things and worldly things, that is the same will be when the Lord will come. No. You need to be rich toward God. He said, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich through richness when you are become rich toward God. And what he else he suggest, what he else to he has suggested to buy from him, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness. What he mean here, the Lord? That you think that when you have expensive clothes that you have a good cloth, but living in sin make you naked. The same when Adam and Eve, they disobeyed the Lord, they found themselves naked. The good clothes, the new clothes, the expensive clothes cannot cover up your sin, cannot cover up your nakedness and your shamefulness. You need to take the white robe of righteousness by repenting and accepting the blood of Jesus as atonement for your sin. And what he suggests, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. When the Lord opened the eyes of the blind, he used mud and salve and put it on the eyes, and he start to see. But he mean here, you may have eyes to see, but if you are not seeing your sin and you are disobedient, then come to the Lord in repentance and ask him to open your eyes to see the truth in the word. the seven churches that receive these messages, they got a warning, sure. And this message is also to us as the churches, as people of God. We need to take a warning. Those whom I love, verse 19, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here the Lord clearly say that this message is a rebuke and a discipline because He love us. Because He love you, He rebuke you today. He discipline you. So be earnest and repent. Verse 20, here I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. The Lord here is knocking at the door, and many preachers, they take this verse, but the right explanation here, I stand at the door and knock. The Lord is knocking at your door with his word. You need to repent. That is the way to open the door. You need to accept the word of God fully, and that is the way you are inviting Jesus inside your life, and he will come and have fellowship and eat with you. The Lord will not eat with you or have fellowship with you if you are not willing to repent and renounce your wrongdoing and the worldly way of life and follow exactly the word of God. Verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. The Lord here give his promise. If we overcome, we will sit with the Lord on his throne. We will be with him forever. We will reign with him and we will rule with him. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, I thank you and praise you. Let your word that being preached convict your people to follow you and walk faithfully in your ways. I pray for fruit, hundredfold, and harvest of righteousness in the life of your church. Bless us, Lord. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. Take this message and spread it, Lord, all over the world. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, Amen and Amen.